Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
We took back the house. We took back the house. Ooh. There were some really devastating losses, but the house is really important, and so is Amendment 4.
And also, local races went so fucking well. Texas won more, doubled the number of seats they've ever picked up in one fucking election cycle. It's like, you're right. There were some really disheartening losses. But honestly, even of the disheartening losses, like, it doesn't feel as definitive as it did even like 12 hours ago. Like, Georgia's going to a fucking runoff. It feels inevitable. And that's amazing.
Also, I mean, again, Amendment 4 passed in Florida. Florida just became the fucking place to watch. And not in the like, Florida is always the one that dicks us over. But like, I'm sorry, if Amendment 4 had passed 2-4 years ago, Andrew Gillum would be the governor, like, period.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, like, 100%. And also there is a chance that Florida might go to a runoff because they like didn't validate a bunch of mail-in ballots and they're giving like an extra day and a half basically that woo-hoo! If you sent in an absentee ballot that hasn't been officially accepted, you can like re-sign your signature and have it counted. And like the margin on that is smaller than the gap that they need in order to force a runoff. So like that seems, like I said, it feels less definitive than it did earlier.
Also, maybe I'm a negative Nancy, but I never thought Beto was going to win. I thought it would turn out exactly how it did. I'm way more invested in Georgia and Florida.
Yes, I kind of had like a little bit of hope that Beto might win. But also the fact that the last time someone ran against Ted Cruz, it was a Democrat who was more centrist, and he lost by 16 fucking points. And Beto only lost by like 2, which is shocking. That if Texas wasn't gerrymandered to fuck, he probably would have won, which is just fucking incredible. And because they switched so many people in the state house, they can actually do something about the gerrymandering that's been going on for fucking 8 years or whatever. So there's so much positive growth in Texas that even though Ted Cruz is their senator still, I feel like, first of all, Beto's been introduced onto a national level. Like, he's fucking running in 2020, right? I feel like they're like, screw it. Who even cares if he goes into an office as a preliminary thing? People like him. He's charismatic. He's good looking. He's like a fake rock star. Like,
guess who never held office before? Our president.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like we now live in a time where like it doesn't even matter. And also, let's get real. Barack Obama was in the Senate for like a whole ass year. And that was it. You don't need to have held office before. And in some ways, it's beneficial to have not held office because you appeal to people who don't normally vote, who are like, this system is corrupt because LOL, it is corrupt.
So corrupt. Anyways, welcome to the podcast.
It's Sup, the day dummies? After.
It's the day after the election. If you listen to this, you're used to it.
Yeah. Congratulations to people who were here 2 years ago and had to listen to us record before we knew that Trump won. That was rough.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
All I could think yesterday was, thank God we're not recording a podcast today.
Oh, man, I fell asleep watching the numbers roll in because I'm a masochist. But I was just trying to stay up. I was like, I need to stay up to watch Scott Walker lose.
Oh,
I need Wisconsin or Georgia to be called. I need this. But I fell asleep. God. And then I woke up to wonderful news about Scott Walker being defeated by his own fucking dirty tricks.
So fucking satisfying. Like, so deeply satisfying. Fuck that guy. Fuck him so much. Our friend Samantha and her partner, Sahara live in Wisconsin now. And so they were visiting, or Samantha was visiting, and was talking about how this year she had to mail in her ballot to Michigan because she like hadn't lived in the state long enough to have registered in order to whatever, because fucking politics are corrupt, whatever. It's hard to vote because it actually matters. That's why people want to make it illegal. Anyway, she was explaining to me, she's like, you know, I'm glad I got to vote in Michigan, but also like Wisconsin sucks. So I kind of wish that I could like vote in that, which is weird because when we went to college with her, Sam was like hardcore Republican, and now as an adult woman she's like, yeah, maybe not, which I appreciate. I'm like, thanks for coming around. I'm glad you could see the light once it like became real, I guess.
Yeah, it's like no longer a choice to not be political. We've been over this, obviously. Also, yeah. Very proud of the two states I've lived in, Michigan and Illinois, flipping those governor seats.
Yes, absolutely. Like
lady governor. I mean, that's not like actually that big of a deal for Michigan because we've had like lady Democrat governors before. Also, but I her think coming out immediately and talking about Flint right away, I was like, yes, ma'am.
Thank fuck you, yeah. Gretchen. Absolutely. And Michigan got the first ever lesbian attorney general, which is like a huge, huge fucking deal. It means that Michigan, at least for the next 4 years, will be on the forefront of retaining gay rights, which is honestly incredible. Like, we came from us, we both are from Michigan, and there was a time where I was like, I personally will not get married until my home state can do that because my dad is gay and lives there. And I was like, that feels really fucked up that I should be allowed to get married before he can. And in 2012, when it went national, that's when Michigan passed it. So it was like, Michigan was not on the forefront of that shit for a long time. It just makes me like, I like legit cried when I read about all of the women that got elected in Michigan and like they legalized pot, which it just feels
all of the women all over. And all of the women of color, like Lauren Underwood in Illinois, that's fucking dope. A lot of LGBT like pickups. There are things to be upset about. And please, please, please don't go back to your basic nonsense and be like, well, I'm done being political. We did it. We didn't do it.
We didn't do it. There's still so much work to do.
There's always something to do. You can never not be political because when you're not political, the backslide happens. This is the backslide. This is your fault.
Yeah, it's important to, and like, it took me a really long time as a fucking white lady to really understand and come to terms with the fact that like voting is not enough. You have to do other stuff too. Like if you're upset about how fucked up the gerrymandering is, there are people in your community organizing about it. Volunteer a little time, like just to fucking stuff envelopes or whatever. That's like, time is money, and like volunteering your time is really fucking important right now, and especially in the next 2 years. As we're recording the day that fucking Jeff Sessions was forced to resign, like this is big. Like, we are in a fucking big ass time right now, and this is not something you can ignore. Jim Acosta was stripped of his fucking White House press pass tonight. Like, we are living in like stage 7 fascism, and we have to be aware of that. Like, you can't just say like, oh well, I voted and I encouraged others to vote and bye for the next 2 years. Like, no, you can't do that. Like, it's fucking exhausting, and I understand that. But when you have the privilege to make change, you should be fucking doing that.
Amen.
Ooh, welcome to our politics podcast. That I don't watch WWE, I guess.
When we started this podcast, before it just became wrestling, we were like, we're going to talk about politics and books and some wrestling. And now we just talk about wrestling and mostly politics. I don't know. Who cares? I don't care anymore. I don't care if we go down to like 30 listeners.
I really don't care anymore.
But not fuck you if you like, you know, are listening in or having a good time, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we appreciate you having a good time with us.
Are you wearing any wrestling merch?
I am not wearing any wrestling merch. I'm actually wearing my Plan 9 shirt.
Yeah, it's a comfy ass shirt.
It is super comfortable. I was wearing my Colin Kaepernick shirt, my sweater all day. I wore that fucking shirt yesterday. I wore the same shirt that I wore on election night 16 because literally everything else was dirty. We had taken our clothes to the place that we have our laundry done because we're fucking bougie white people. And we had to get it that morning. And so we went, and all I had left was that fucking shirt. I was like, we got our laundry, and I was like, okay, well, I can either be really late to work and completely change everything that I'm wearing, or I can just wear this shirt and I can ride it out. And I made the wrong decision. I should have been late to work. I was anxious about it all day. All fucking day. You made that joke on Twitter, and I was like, ah, but actually, I'm like really worried about this. All day, it freaked me out. Like, as soon as I came home, I was like, I have to take this fucking shirt off.
That's so hilarious. It's just a shirt.
I think I'm going to burn it anyway. I was like, this makes me so anxious. I cannot afford to wear this again. It really freaked me out. I was like, oh, God.
Should so I wear my Nasty Woman shirt? I can't believe I bought a Nasty Woman shirt. I hate myself.
Let's burn them. Those can be our next Patreon videos. The next video.
Yeah.
Shirts we destroy. But so I wear my Concord.
It's technically a Mitch McConnell quote. Like, why do we put that on things?
I agree. I never particularly cared for it.
It's not great. It's up there with your pink pussy hats that are problematic.
Yeah. Oh, we could go on all night.
I mean, we could. We really could. But I have a paper to write. I have to write about Tumblr or whatever because grad school.
Grad school.
But, like, I don't understand Tumblr. I'm actually pretty worried about this paper.
Which is funny because for, like, a year and a half, you ran a Tumblr for this show.
Yeah, but I didn't run it well, which is why we don't do it anymore, man.
Right.
It's You're a totally confusing-ass right. platform. It's part of why it's a fan-favorite platform because there is, like, a level of know-how that goes into it. So you have to, like, be in the know and be in the community to understand how to participate in Tumblr. And it's, like, a way of like gatekeeping but also protecting fan spaces and blah 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 blah.
Put out like an open call to your Twitter followers and ask like, hey, is anybody super active in Tumblr? Do you want to talk to me for like 5 minutes?
This is due tomorrow.
You could post it literally right now and probably get a response by the time we're done.
I'm not gonna do that.
Ridiculous. I wrote so many papers in college by being like, hey, social group that's around me, give me your opinion on this thing, and then I'm going to write a paper about it.
I'm not you, Aaron.
That's true. That's true.
I am wearing my Shinsuke Nakamura sweatpants and my Evolution hoodie, mostly because I'm cold.
Yeah, it's fucking cold in Chicago now.
But that also, happened. I guess, like, yay for diversity in women. So, like, that's how I'm bringing it back into the fold. But it's mostly because I'm cold.
That's fair.
So how did your first week of not watching WWE, but kind of watching it? I don't know. What is your life like?
Okay, so I didn't watch any of it. I haven't watched any of it on TV. I haven't watched any of the like network stuff. We canceled our subscription. Honestly, the way that I've mostly been seeing things is through Total Divas episode GIFs because they're so consistent about posting like basically all of the cool stuff that I'm like, okay, I kind of understand what's going on. And like, I follow so many people who are still so actively engaged in the product because that's what we do. Like, that I feel like I'm not really missing anything. And also, I feel less stressed out, which is kind of nice.
That's so funny.
I just like, there are so many things happening that I like really, really like, but it's nice because I can like curate out the shit I don't care about and that I don't want to be stressed about, which is nice.
Did you watch Lucha Underground or Impact or other wrestling?
Didn't this week because we were not sure if we were going to do an episode. And I was like, okay, I can fit these in or we could not do this. But I've been like, I read up on all of the stuff that's been happening on Lucha. I'm going to watch it later. I started working on Tuesdays again. So my wrestle time is gone.
Ultima Lucha Cuatro ends tonight.
Okay.
But the matches so far have been really good. And also I came to the conclusion, which is not me coming to the conclusion, like people know this, but it's funny that like Lucha Underground is kind of just a story about Aerostar.
Yeah.
Because he's like kind of the like driving narrative force behind scenes, and like even though he's not involved in every feud or whatever, like he kind of is involved in all of it because he's been around for a millennia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of love.
Yeah, I really like Aerostar. I felt like the first season that was really clear that it was about Aerostar and Drago and like their
the tribes.
Yeah, exactly. It felt very keyed into that, and it's kind of pulled away from that a little bit, I guess.
It's back though. Like they're really bringing that back. There's a couple like heavy Aerostar scenes in Ultima Lucha Quattro Part 1 that I was like, oh yeah, this is what this show is about. Here's maybe an unpopular opinion. I love Lucha Underground from like the bottom of my heart. Like I love it. But I also kind of want it to be like a series of TV where it does end someday and there is a finale and the story is told.
Yeah, I agree. I've said a couple of times over the season that I found it really hard to push myself to watch Lucha because I feel very much like it's over. Like it feels like this is the end. But if that was on purpose, I would be so much more into it. Like I really wish that there was an announcement like, we're going to do season 5 and that's it. And then we're done. Like, I would feel so much more invested in this because it does kind of feel like they're telling this story that should have an ending. And yet it's like the whole point is to never have an ending. Like, that's the point of a wrestling company is that it should go on indefinitely. But this product does feel more like a television show. And I wish that there was, maybe this is just what happens to all television shows where you're like, man, this should be over, but it's not.
I don't think Lucha should be over yet. Like, I feel like there's more to tell and it does feel like they're wrapping certain things up, but like, I mean, spoiler alert, Katrina is dead. You know, Sexy Star is like presumed dead. Like there are things in big story things that have happened. I mean, fucking Dario died. Like there are big moves that are happening. I just like, I want there to be a complete story. And honestly, even if Lucha Underground stays around, I just want this like cycle to end almost. Maybe like a season of like True Detective. Like it's still the same show kind of, right. But like each season is a series.
Yeah. Like American Horror Story style where.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that type of like a serial show. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, as like a serialized miniseries, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the last couple episodes, particularly because AR Fox is back.
Yes.
Heck yes.
So glad. Did you not
really describe it? Explain it? There's like a throwaway line that kind of explains it, but like whatever.
Well, I mean, it's because they filmed this over like two goddamn weekends. And it's like, well, if you're unavailable for the first half, then bye. Like, you basically can't be included in the story. So, like, as an outside fan, I know that. But yeah, as a watcher of it, it does feel very weird.
Anyways, Lucha Underground Season 4 is about to end. It's ending right now. But I'm excited to watch Ultima Lucha Quattro Part 2.
Yeah, now that I know it's coming out tonight, I didn't realize tonight was the final one. Yeah. I'll just watch all three of them together.
For sure.
Else?
Impact Wrestling has been, it's weird. It hasn't been bad. It's just been kind of boring. So like, I feel like when a WWE show is bad, it's like recklessly bad. But yep. Impact is steady, but steady in almost a way where like, you know, it doesn't have the fan base like WWE does where like idiots like me and whatever just tune in every week regardless. Like Impact doesn't have that. So like not bad is not good enough.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I will say there are some good things that I like the Mac and Rich Swann, who like I know is problematic and like fuck him. They had a really long match on Impact this week and it almost like solidified my distaste for Rich Swann because like everything that Rich Swann was doing, and regardless of him being a shitbag, he is a very talented wrestler, but everything he was doing, it's like the Mac would do it and do it better even though he's like a full human bigger than Rich Swann. And it made me, and he's just so likable, and like the Mac's the shit, right? So like Rich Swann would do a kip up and then the Mac would do it and I'd be like, yeah, the Mac is cooler. It was just like yeah, this guy's better, we like this guy more, just put the Mac in everything. Which I totally agree with that. It was a good match and I am glad that the Mac is on Impact because I just love him so much. I just like genuinely love him.
Yeah, I agree.
Ethan Page is doing a good job on Impact. He's like being saddled with Matt Sydal, which is like not a great thing, I don't think, even though I like Matt Slidell, but like, whatever. I like that Ethan Page is on there and he doesn't have to play like a weird lawyer next to Abyss. Eli Drake is suing Impact Wrestling and using Abyss as his lawyer, or Joseph Park as his lawyer. He's suing Impact Wrestling for creating an unsafe work environment.
Oh my God.
LAX and the OGs are back on their bullshit. Like, I'm just ignoring it. Who cares?
All right, great.
Literally, who cares? Eddie Edwards is being hilarious, per usual. He's having full conversations with his kendo stick.
I love how
pretty hard great
come around on Eddie Edwards. It is like Bella level turnaround. Every week it delights me.
I just love him so much. Moose is making a lot of choices. He was wearing like a play suit, it almost looked like. It was like a latex. He's been wearing like African garb. I don't know the right terminology for it because I don't know what culture he's representing. But he's been wearing more what looks like formal African-inspired outfits. But then he shows up this week in one of those outfits, but like made of like latex. I was like, what is happening? What is this choice? Why?
He's a big dude too. That okay.
Why? Yeah. So
I mean, Moose is a famously bad dresser, but that seems like a lot.
I just don't understand. I like Moose a lot, and he sucks and has always sucked in Impact.
Yeah.
So, I feel like he should leave Impact and just go be good other places.
Yeah, it's really weird because when he was in Ring of Honor, I found him extremely likable. But, I mean, there are lots of stories about how racist management is at Ring of Honor, so I can understand why he left to go to a company that presumably treats him better. But sell all of his charisma to ROH to get out of his contract, I, like, don't understand what happened. Yeah. Like, we used to see him live all the time, and it was awesome, and he has this, like, really great vibe when you're in the same room as him, but something about Impact, it's just like, well, bro, what happened here?
Right. It's nuts. Tessa and Taya are in a feud, and Taya keeps almost getting like
this. I have been seeing a little bit of because I've been using Instagram more lately, and Taya keeps posting all of this shit about their feud onto her Instagram story. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is dope. I want to watch this.
Yeah, Taya is like, it's like strength versus like wrestle smarts almost. Like,
okay.
Taya is like pure strength, whereas Tessa is a brilliant wrestler, but is also conniving. Like, she punched the ref to get out of her match this week because she was like afraid that Taya was gonna win. And like, it's good heely storytelling. Like, she fucking punched the ref, not pushed him over. She punched him in the face.
I love that so much.
That was a lot of plosives, and I like really laid into it. So I'm sorry if the sound recording on this Google Hangout was just like, wow.
It's all right. There's that like circle that comes out from your picture in the middle, and it was just like boom all the way to the outside.
And then with the other knockouts, they're telling a story. So like Allie went to the underworld or whatever to get Kira. She sold her soul, but then they got out. So Allie is now back in the real world, but she's soulless. So she keeps like having these like fits of like rage and stuff and doesn't know what to do with it. And I really like Allie, and I like these creepy storytelling. Allie's not selling it for me totally, but Kira's selling it for me. Kira's awesome. Doing a really good job being like, what the fuck, bro?
Yes.
So
good. I'm glad. They spent a lot of time not using her, even though they had signed her.
She's been on TV a lot, but she's been a sidekick.
Yeah.
And she's been wrestling a decent amount, but she's kind of starting to get more of her own character, I think. I mean, she's still definitely a sidekick right now, but like, she's doing a really good job.
Cool. That's awesome. And it's cool to see Allie have moved from the sidekick role into like the leader role. I like that a lot.
So as always with Impact, the girls are holding it down.
Tried and true.
The girls is holding it down. So through your Total Divas episodes GIF watching.
Yes.
What are some things like what's standing out to you?
Let's see. Okay, so I've talked before about how I've, like, really fallen out of the, like, kayfabe on Twitter stuff. Like, some people it's just too great and it, like, makes me uncomfortable, whatever, and so I just, like, mute a bunch of that stuff. I fucking love Becky Lynch on Twitter. She is just a savage bitch, and I fucking love it. I'm so into it. And like, just watching her like talk and move around on SmackDown, like I just love it. I fucking love everything she's doing. It really feels like WWE finally gives a shit about her and is gonna let her do what she wants. And like, I'm so happy. I'm so glad it's finally happening for her.
Yeah, she had this really great WWE exclusive backstage thing this week where she like kind of called Ronda out and me like, Ronda made fun of me for having jobs. Ronda made this, but she was like, what's, you walked in here and got handed a title. I worked for this and you may have been handed the main event, but I through my work and through my progress and for who I am, I delivered match of the year. So mm-hmm. like, who cares about the main event when people are still talking about me and my match that I worked for. So you can make fun of the fact that I was a stewardess, but like, and you had a psycho mom, but why who keep talking? I mean, I feel like she should stop talking about her crazy mom.
I mean, her mom is fucking psychotic though. That's the whole deal.
I know. I feel like because of that, she should stop talking about it.
It's so weird. Like,
cause it's like an IRL thing.
Yeah, true. I also feel like even from watching it, every week, I didn't really understand how Ronda was supposed to be the good guy.
But this week, now, especially.
Yeah, I felt it was like basically,
it was basically a heel promo with a smile on her face.
Yeah, it just felt so like, isn't the whole demographic of who you're supposed to be appealing to literal working people? Like, it felt so bizarre and like so misplaced. And I know that they're like, allowing her to write her own promos with the help of Paul Heyman, which I guess is good that they're allowing someone to write their own promos, and that is like a good sign for other people, but also like it's not working. I don't know. There are so many things with Ronda, as always, where I'm just like, I'm glad WWE is making an effort to treat a woman like they're important, but also this woman is not doing a great job with that responsibility. So it's like very bizarre to see. It's, and especially watching people react to that promo, that was like, I got out of dance this week and immediately everyone was like, fuck this bitch, what is this? It was bizarre.
But Becky's holding it down, and Becky's having fire fucking matches with L1 and Nikki Cross.
Yes. I saw when, because this was obviously taped earlier because it was in England, I saw the announcement on Twitter that Nikki Cross had debuted, and I'm just, I don't understand why they didn't do it at Evolution, but what the fuck ever, I'm glad that she's fucking here. It's a night, I'm glad that they treated Evolution like an actual pay-per-view and had a Fallout program, sort of, I guess, even though it's like a week late, we'll just forget that other pay-per-view ever happened.
I don't know if Nikki Cross is full-time on the main roster yet, though, because they set up a few, like a couple storylines with Nikki down there, one particularly with Candace. So I feel like she might be like a tweener for a while.
I mean, that's what Sasha did when she...
That's what Ruby did, too.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that works. That's a smart way to do that. I think it's a very smart way to do that. And it like draws people from the regular WWE audience who don't necessarily watch NXT like into that product. They're like, oh, I want to see more of this person right now, currently.
Speaking of Ruby, I know a lot of people don't like when real world stuff like deaths get brought into the wrestling ring. But I, for one, personally believe that somebody like Jim the Anvil Neidhart would like that his legacy and who he is still being used and talked about, especially by his daughter. That's what I personally believe. So it doesn't bother me in this context, but I'm really sick of not wrestling or fighting happen. Like, Natty's a wrestler. Ruby broke her dead dad's sunglasses. Why did Natty just sit there and weirdly cry? Why didn't she just beat Ruby up or chase her out or like, why with the feelings? Like, I get it. I have a lot of feelings, and having feelings is fine. I'm not saying that everyone should be like heartless. Like, that's not the point, but like, why do the women have to have, why is it an either or? Why can't she scream? Why can't she chase Ruby out? And then like Ruby gets away, or like she tries to fight her and then she sits down and cries because her dad's sunglasses. Why was it like, why did Natty just give up immediately? Like, that is stupid.
Yeah, it's very bad storytelling.
It was so dumb. Oh, also, I guess we should announce that announce. We're not announcing anything. Everyone knows this. but we got exactly a 2-week build to Survivor Series. LOL.
Whatever.
It's nuts.
We just crammed all of these fucking pay-per-views in because who gives a shit?
Hell in a Cell, Super Showdown, Evolution, Crown Jewel, and Survivor Series is happening in a span of like 2 months.
Too many. That's too many shows. I cannot do that.
That's fucking more than not dual branded. When they do like pay-per-view specific or brand specific pay-per-views, it's exhausting. It was exhausting then, and that's why we stopped doing it.
I picked the right time to boycott, I think.
Ridiculous. Honestly, like, that's all I want to talk about.
Okay, that's fine.
Is our podcast now like a 25-minute long podcast?
Maybe for a little while. It's kind of nice.
It's great.
People are going to see this and be like, what the fuck?
We'll definitely still do prediction stuff because you can do predictions. And
yeah, absolutely. Like that. And like I said, too, if you're like throwing a party for a pay-per-view, I'll probably come hang out and like watch. That's fine. I'm not giving them my money.
I'll not be throwing a Survivor Series pay-per-view.
No, I meant for like War Games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. I'll be in. Oh, shit.
You just went through a roller coaster of emotions.
Well, War Games and Survivor Series is the same weekend as TeslaCon.
Oh.
And I was already planning on like coming home early for Survivor. He fucking spaced about War Games. Mm. Well, I guess I'll just be skipping the ball and watching War Games at my steampunk convention. Oh, whatever. I just watch War Games in my corset.
Seems my, very on brand, to be honest.
My corset and my beret. So before we get to questions, we'll talk about Survivor Series and wrap up some Lucha Underground thoughts next week. Probably we'll have these shorty episodes because time, but also because Aaron is boycotting and also whatever.
Yeah.
you got to be happy for like a 25-minute podcast sometimes, right? You can't do 2 hours every week.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. I was like, people will appreciate this. Right. We're all exhausted for fuck's sake.
So me and Aaron generally take off January for the podcast just because we need a little refresher. And it's like, new year, new us, whatever. But we realized that that's fucking dumb. Because January is the build to Rumble and is the build to Mania and all that bullshit. Like, nothing happens in December. Why do we not take December off?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I feel like last year, too, by the time we got to January, we're like, thank God we're taking this off. But if we just take it off December, we would have felt so fucking exhausted.
Right. So I think the plan, correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, is that we're going to do some predictions and stuff, talk about Ultima Lucha next week. We may find some time to do a little Survivor Series fallout pre-Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving. And then I think we're probably going to call it for December. We'll hopefully have some little fun episodes like we did last year. We did the John Cena smell test. we have to decide what we'll be doing this time. If you have any suggestions, we would love that.
Please let us know.
Not a John Cena smell test. Which
we all did that.
Was surprisingly not terrible. There was only one that was trash.
Yeah, there was only one that made your cat flee from the room.
Oh, God. It like tainted this room for like 24 hours.
Yeah, it was bad.
So bad. Our podcast is going to be wonkadonk for like a month and a half.
Because it's already been wonkadonk for like 2 months.
That's
basically
true.
Joy Ryan came on our podcast and it's just been a fucking free fall since then.
That's a good point. Joy Ryan ruined our podcast.
It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Joey. Best friend of the pod. Ridiculous. We do have a question. This is from Chris Castlevania on Twitter. This is from like a week ago. Who do you think or do you think anyone will defeat Rousey? Because it's sad to think of all the other girls getting fed to her because she is Femme Lesnar. Femi Les.
Femi Les.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah, I don't know. I want to be hopeful. I'd love it if Becky just ripped her arm off and killed her with it. I don't know. I think she is femles.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like maybe after Mania, there's another brand shakeup and Charlotte goes to Raw and takes the belt off of her. And then yeah. Ronda gets to beat her and then be a two-time champion. They also love adding numbers to Charlotte's belt count. So I feel like that kind of works in both of their favor. And also, I feel like if anyone is going to send out Rousey, if she does decide to leave to have kids, although she has said that she's now considering not doing that, like, and also fuck just it. as a note, like, if that is her plan, is to like stay and work hard and not have kids and not just be this like fuck off 1 year champ, like, I do appreciate that she like cares enough to do that and can be in this situation and be like, oh yeah, I actually do want to work hard and I'm not just, this isn't just something I'm throwing away. So I like appreciate that, but also like get better, obviously.
but also
you are kind of a trash possum, so I'm like not into that, but I appreciate that your work ethic is there. I can recognize that. That's nice.
Yeah, I feel like it's fair to say that we can recognize that Ronda Rousey has a work ethic even though she's a shitty human.
Yeah, exactly. And even though she's not great at her job in many ways, like, she clearly is trying.
It's just like an old, it's just the women's divisions now are where Lesnar and AJ were. Like, yeah. Raw has a champion, two champions now, please kill me. But where they are figureheads that are not great wrestlers, that are not putting on, they're putting on programs that have a lot of hype, but not delivering in the ring, and they're very predictable. But on SmackDown, there is a champion who can cut a promo, who can have a good match with anybody, who is telling interesting stories. Like, it's just a Brock AJ, but now it's Ronda Becky. Mm-hmm.
100%.
And I think at Survivor Series, we're going to watch AJ Styles and Becky Lynch get beat up by Femi, Les, and Les.
Yeah, I totally agree. We already know that there's some kind of super hard on for Raw as a brand, and they must defeat everybody and everything. And like, it's just, yeah, I feel like honestly, legitimately, the only person they would allow to beat Ronda is Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
but not right now, because obviously Charlotte is defeated.
Yeah, exactly. So like in the future, I feel like that could happen, but
in the future,
no time soon. I have said before, and I stand by, I think that they are going to have Ronda break Nikki's title reign. I think they're going to keep it on her for like a year and a half, and then she'll be the longest reigning champion.
Ugh, whatever.
They're petty assholes. They do all kinds of they did it to AJ Lee, even though she helped build up their women's division. Like, they don't give a fuck about anybody.
They did. They are petty assholes. Well, that's my closing argument, is that WWE is petty assholes. And I have a paper to write about Tumblr.
All right. Well, you enjoy that.
I will not, but I'll do it.
Grad school.
Week 9, week 10. Oh, shit. I don't know. Whatever. My finals are next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you like almost done?
Yes, but then I'm taking one of those fun 3-week courses.
Oh, woof.
Which is honestly part of the reason that I was like, can we take December off?
Ugh, woof.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea. I mean, I have to go to Disney World in December, so it's probably a good idea anyway.
Oh, my God. Goodbye.
You can find us on the internet.
I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at ErnGenC.
You can use the hashtag NotYourDemoPod. Oh, and some of our patrons on Patreon have noticed that we took the follow back part out of our Patreon. It's because we don't have a team Twitter, is what I was going to say. We don't have a team Twitter anymore. And honestly, policing both of our Twitters with followers sounds not hard, but is hard. Yeah. We will probably follow a lot of you. And if you want to follow back, be like, hey, I contribute $5 a podcast, I'd love if you follow me on Twitter. Just let us know. We'll do that. I don't care.
Yeah.
It just became hard. It just became a spreadsheet to be like, Aaron, are you following this person? Am I following this person? Which sounds not hard, but it is hard.
Yeah, it was surprisingly hard to like keep track of who was doing what. It's funny too, because I remember a couple of years ago, Kevin Owens and Tyler, I was going to say Prince Pretty, Tyler, they did this like campaign to raise money for forest fires that were happening in Canada. I think it was something like that. Maybe it was a shooting. I don't think it was a shooting. It wasn't America, so it probably was not a shooting, but it was something like that needed money. Oh, there was like a landslide, I think, maybe. I don't know. It was some kind of natural disaster.
And they it was something money. Awful that they were raising money for because they are good, wholesome.
Yeah, because they're like both really, really fucking good dudes. So they were raising money for this, and they like set, they did the same thing where they were like, if you contribute this amount, include your Twitter handle, and then we'll both start following you. And they got like halfway through it, and both of them were like, this is impossible. We cannot do this. It's very difficult to coordinate.
Yeah, it seems not difficult. It is.
Really was.
It's really weird. The only thing we changed about the Patreon.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
We did restructure it a little bit, but that's, I mean, that was just us cleaning it up. Now, after a year, we like have a better idea of how we use it.
Also, we're getting stickers. I'm ordering them on Black Friday because I am cheap and I want that deal. But I'm going to go to the mailbox, also known as the post office. I have some things to send out, but I'm just going to wait until I get those stickers. And I'm going to send everybody some sticks.
Yeah.
They're really cute.
Yeah, they are. I have one on the back of my phone. It's been holding up super well, too. The last sticker I had on the back of my phone only lasted a couple of months before the ink
ran. Quality stickers.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm so happy with it.
Okay, you can use the hashtag NotYourDemoPod to interact with us on Twitter. Yes. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/NotYourDemoPod. You can buy our merch, send it, give it to your friends for Christmas.
Yes.
Whatamaneuver.net.
Mail at NotYourDemo@gmail.com.
And like iTunes and shit. Woo.
Woo.
Also, sidebar, I don't really want to talk about it, but I did catch up on Total Divas. It has gotten more entertaining as the season goes along.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And this week, Paige and Lana, epic battle in some fancy cabin they rent or whatever. You know how on reality shows, they're like, I rented out this chateau. But basically, I'm here for Lana and Paige to fight.
All right. Fantastic. I mean, you can basically just like project yourself onto her. It's very similar look anyway.
Paige?
Yeah.
I do not have big fillers in my lips yet.
You're getting there.
Just kidding. I would not put fillers in my lips. I'm not opposed to plastic surgery. It's just like not the first thing that I would do.
Yeah, it's not for you.
Yeah,
not yucking anyone's yum.
Ew. That doesn't make any I don't want to talk about it anymore. Goodbye.
About cakes. That's I don't want to yuck your yum.
I don't want to talk about cakes or yucks.
Cakes? Kinks.
They said cakes.
No, king.
Oh, God. That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. This fell apart. All right. We got two words for you.
Brie mode. Go have some cake. Go sit on a cake. That's a kink.
Ooh, there you go. That is a kink, actually.
That's like a great tag, like a tag for a different podcast. Like, have a we'll see you next week. Go sit on a cake. Okay, Brie Mode, bye.